God is always near if you just let him come into your hearts, into your life. If you don't let him come in, Satan will.
That's right.
And so we need to take hold of Jesus Christ and hold to him in all of our ways that we walk. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what we are looking forward to.
Yes, sir.
What we have that we shouldn't have, let us cast it aside. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this opportunity and privilege you have given unto us, Lord, to come together to worship. We ask you to bless our hearts, Father, and lead us and guide us into all truth and understanding. Father, we ask you to forgive us, Lord, for where we fail, Lord, for we know that you love us and you will bring us unto your kingdom. So, Father, guide us and lead us to all truth that we may understand and walk in the ways of your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to read from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 32. I had a nephew this week, passed away, came home from work and visited mother that was sick. She had just got to the hospital, and he woke up the next morning about 3 o'clock, took a couple of deep breaths, and was gone. So we never know where death awaits us, but be always ready to go when it comes. Let's start reading verses 14 through 32, Ephesians 4. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the slightness of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him all things, which is the head, even Christ.
From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measures of every part, make increase of the body and the edifying of love in it. Itself.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind.
Have the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
But ye have not so learned Christ.
If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus,
that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness lust.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
That ye put on the new man.
Amen.
Which God is created in righteousness and truth holiness.
Amen.
Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. We are members one of another.
Amen. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
Neither give place to the devil.
Let him that strove steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, his hand, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another,
even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Before you see, I want to give just a short testimony. It won't take but a minute. Last night I was in Walmart, and I got to the register to pay for what I had. My card wouldn't work, and it was something like $90-something dollars. And the lady behind me said, "Don't worry about it, I got it." And she paid for the items I had. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. We appreciate that. And
God, he has examples in our lives and how we should be to each other. And, I remember one of the first times someone paid for my meal, very unexpected, a stranger. Was in a Chick-fil-A drive-thru line. And you learn from those lessons. And then you start to pass it forward. And that's the tender heartedness we should have. The heartedness we should have one for another. Amen. We have a bowl of prayer cloths up here. I think this was Brother Dale's handkerchief. And Wade cut them up. He's going to preach over them, pray over them. These prayer cloths are for the students, the teachers. School is fixing to start back within a week or so. And I'll let Wade kind of explain what to do with them. But I think after the service, you can come up and get one and take more than one. Give them to some of the your colleagues at school or teachers. We all need prayer. The times we live in and the stress and the pressure of the age is so wonderful to see people pray one for another and encourage one for another in the public school system and wherever you are, even in your job. So I want to be a witness wherever we are. Amen. Right. Amen. Brother Thomas, would you come up this morning and receive our tithes and offering? Amen. Let's sing that song, On the Wings of Faith, KFD. Amen. Set your wings to the winds of faith. Amen. We want to spread our wings. When you hear the word of God, it just builds a faith to you where you can rise above all the trials and just believe in him. As we sing this song, just think about those who are going through trials and how you can maybe encourage them during this time. Amen. There are two roads you may take, one by sight and one by faith. You can
watch the eagle in the sky. He does not struggle, he does not strive for the power, oh yes, that makes him rise, is already in. Oh, do you believe that this morning? Oh, set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly. Last verse again. Oh, watch the eagle in the sky. He does not struggle, he does not strive for the power that makes him rise. His sky. So set your wings to the winds of faith, and you can fly in a higher place. Oh, do not struggle, it's by grace. Set your wings to the that course again this morning. Oh, set your wings to the winds of faith, and you can fly in a higher place. Oh, do not struggle, it's by His grace, it's by grace. Set your wings to the the eyes of my heart, Lord. Let's all stand. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart.
Thank you, Lord. You're holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Amen. God bless you. Turn around, shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you all for coming today. We appreciate our visitors coming and being with us. Smiling faces and wonderful places. Being right here in the house of the Lord. Thank you for coming. We appreciate you. And I don't know all your names, but I will. Don and Hey, next time. Some other time. Wear a name tag. But good to have you with us today. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. This morning, we've got a group here, so we're going to try to take our time, maybe back up a little bit and be a little slow. Brother Luis is interpreting in the back, and we sure appreciate Brother Luis. When I walked out, I said, preach it, brethren. Preach it. He said, you preach it first. Okay, so we'll preach it together. But by way of announcement, Brother Luis, you'll be speaking Wednesday night again. Brother Keith Reed will be here next Sunday for two services. The camp meeting will be the next week. Some of us are going up Thursday and be there Thursday night and Friday. Come back Friday early, not late, if you want to go. Also on the next Sunday, Brother George Quinn will be with us. That'll be August the 11th, and he'll be here for the weekend for two services. It's that time when the camp meeting, when the brothers come in from different countries, and we sure want to have them visit with us, and we sure appreciate them and pray for them as they move around. As Brother Joe said, we're going to take these prayer cloths. These will be, you know, what, you can have whatever you want, but these, we're going to pray for school kids, school teachers, school buildings, school buses. All right, but if you want one for anything else, that's fine, but after the service, if you'd come up here and get you one, two, three, or four, that's one of the handkerchiefs that Brother Dale had, and it's been in there for a good while, and we've been wanting to cut it up, so we cut it up just a minute ago, and we believe in prayer cloths. We believe in the power of God. We believe it comes from the Bible. We believe that Bible times are now and not back then. It's the same God that was in Paul. It's the same God's in me and you. It's the same God's in Brother Branham. The same God's in Brother Dale. All right? So we took the cloths off, and we're going to preach over them, and then we'll pray over them, and then you come and get one after the service. So just remember that. Also, next Sunday, next Saturday, no Bible study. Next Sunday after the second service, I know we're going to have communion, and Brother Keith will be here, but if we don't, everybody's going to be scattered next weekend after the second service, all right? You can go downstairs and get a cold drink or something and go to the bathroom, but we're going to have our meeting of the officers that we said we were going to have several months ago. It's time for us to meet. It will be, and if you can't, let me know. All right, Brother Bob, Brother Luis, Brother Aaron, Brother Darty, Brother Gary, Brother Terrence, Brother Ryan, Brother Anderson, Brother Joe Canada, Brother Colley, and Brother Donnie. That's our officers that we see at the moment, and that's who we want to have a meeting with next Sunday afternoon after second service. All right, immediately following second service, and we won't be as long as the last one because we got some things done then, so we're going to hone it down a little bit and get started on some things. Everybody, just pray that the leadership of this church does the right thing, all of us together, and that we are all on the same page. We're all in the same ship. We're not rowing in different directions. All right? And it makes for a good church, makes for a good atmosphere to come and preach in, and a good atmosphere to worship in. Amen? Just as a candle cannot burn without fire, man cannot live without a spiritual life. What's a candle to do? A candle's to be lit, right? That's what you use a candle for. You light it. That's what a spiritual life is for. It's for you to light it and let it project. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning because we want to continue on this. But we're going to talk about sanctification in the time of John Wesley and then into our day that we're living in. All right. So if you got your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Revelations 1, and we're, like I said, we're going to be a little slow. If we have to continue this afternoon, that'll be fine, but I want the visitors to catch up a little bit, and see kind of what we're talking about. Listen, the Holy Ghost said he would lead you and guide you into all truth. So believe in the Holy Ghost. Forget about the devil. He's going to be there. All right? He's there already talking to you, you know. So just let the Holy Ghost open the word up to you. He's the only revealer of the word. I can't do it. These ministers can't do it. But I promise you, when we get to the end of this sermon, you'll see why Brother Bob did what he did today. You'll see why Brother Collie read the same scripture. I'm not going to read that scripture, but you watch and see when we get to the very end what I'm going to speak about on sanctification. It absolutely, you could put all three of them together, and it's just a symphony. And we sure appreciate the Lord for that. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning you've given us and for this group of people, Lord, the purchase of your blood. And as the prophet was saying there, he said, oh, give me a church full of the Holy Ghost. Give me a church that we can come in and sit down and listen to you, Lord, and have all the flues unstopped and all the filters unplugged. And we can hear, Lord, and we can react and say praise the Lord or glory to God or hallelujah because it resonates inside of our soul. There's something inside of us that's yearning for something besides this world. And Father, I pray that you'd be with us now. Open the word to us. Lord, be with the ones that are here, Lord, that are visiting. We pray that you'd bless them. And Lord, I pray that you would touch each life that's, we have many on vacation. Brother John Durrett just called there in Pigeon Forge. Brother Terrence and Brother Zach, they're over in Myrtle Beach. And Brother Ryan is in Kentucky. So we have several people scattered around. And I pray that you'd be with them, Lord, and bring them back safe, Father. But the ones that are here, Lord, I pray that you'd touch us, Father. Anoint us for the job that we have to do. And the job is to preach and the job is to hear. It's what the Spirit says to the churches. Father, just be with the ones that are sick. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelations 1, verse 10. We've been on this for a while, but I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Now remember, that's the bookends. That's the beginning, Alpha, and the ending, Omega. They're to be the same. All right? That's why there had to be a restoration between the two. There was a falling away. We'll get to it in a minute. And then there's a restoration back to what? To the full word of God in the end time. All right? So you're part of that. You're the Omega bride. All right? You're the Omega bride. You're the one that the whole thing's going to end up in. Israel is waiting on you and me to fulfill our part as a Gentile and then move on over to them. All right? So I say, let's get going. Let's get it done. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And that's the seven church ages. Ephesus, Smyrna. These were real cities. And the characteristics of these cities match what was in the Bible. So it had to be a God thing. It had to be God do it. Because he told John to write it and send it to him. Send it to the church that was there. Don't send it to the city. Don't send it to the chief magistrate. Don't send it to the mayor. All right? Send it to the people that's going to listen to what's being said. And I hope today we are the people that the Lord has given us an opportunity in this Omega age to learn and to know where we're at and to know what we're doing here and to know why that we're here in the beginning. Why we're here to start with. But write it to all these churches. I'm not going to read them all. We know we're in the Laodicean age. We are in that time slot, but we've been caught out of the age. Every bride in every age has been caught up out of the age. They do get the blessings, but they do get the cursings. All right? And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, we know that's the menorah. That's the seven candlesticks that are lit, and we'll talk about that maybe this evening about the first veil going into the holy place. Now, not the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? But the holy place is the second one, and that's sanctification. Okay, now you ready? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. So here is Jesus Christ standing there in bride form, being girt about here, the paps, covered breast, which signifies female. And that's the bride. So it's Jesus Christ has what? Brothers, he's immorphied. And sisters, immorphied into me and you. He's immorphied into the bride. I was reading Brother Branham a day or two ago. He said, we always say, well, she is him. Well, do we really realize that? That she is definitely him, not a second person. We got to see that. You may be seated, and I'll read the rest of this while you're sitting down. I know you're tired. But now we're on the Philadelphian church age, and for the sake of the brothers and sisters that come in, we'll just kind of give an overview of what we've been speaking on. But Revelation 3, verse 7 says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia." Now remember, there was an angel to every age, right? Not three or four, one. God spoke to that person. That person grabbed the revelation that was from God, and he spoke it to the people. He literally had the mind of God. Amen? If not, he wouldn't have wrote it in the Bible. "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works." Like Brother Bob was saying about Job. God knew the whole deal about Job before the foundation of the world. But Job didn't, and I don't believe the devil knew what was going to happen at the end. I don't believe he can see very far in the future. If he does, he'd be real scared. But remember, God doesn't give him revelation. He formulates his own whatever story because he's a liar. Everybody with me? But he makes it so close till it sounds good, looks good. Satan's seed is here. It's not somewhere else. If you're waiting for a pope to sit over in Rome and become Satan incarnate, you're fooled. Because you're not going to be here. If you're a bride, you're not going to be here. Let's get him out of this seat right here. Let's get him out of this part. Let's not let him be incarnate here. Amen. Don't worry about over there. Well, who's going to be the pope? Where's he going to come from? We know what Brother Brown said about those things, but remember, we're gone.
Yes.
So this irrelevant, it's good to talk about, but it's irrelevant that we're going to even see the guy become incarnate. Because you know what? We're going to see the incarnation of a bride of Jesus Christ. He's going to be incarnated in a bride, and that's what's going to bring the dead out of the ground. That's what's going to bring the body change. It's when we see Christ already incarnate inside of me and you. But we got to go through justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost himself, the Word of God, coming and living inside of you, not just anointing you. You know, I know most of you know what I'm talking about, but it's, I won't call any names, but we just went through a situation where a brother and sister of a certain church left the message, and they're out doing just ungodly stuff. But they cried when they sang. They cried when you pray. They cried when they hear the Word of God. They're so humble. Didn't have 1 ounce of the Holy Ghost in their soul. Or they wouldn't do what they were doing now. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. Just because you feel something, just because you might have a little seniority over somebody else and you've been sitting in your favorite seat for 30 years, if you ain't got the Holy Ghost in your soul, you're lost. Period. You're lost. And you need the Holy Ghost in your soul. Satan can anoint you every service. He can anoint you. He can anoint you somewhere else. But as Brother Bob and him are saying, it's the life. It's that consecration. It's that having an integrity to be able to whip the devil with that. Amen? So just realize that. I want you to realize that. You see people. And you see people like Tim Humes. I'll call him brother. Preached 40 years. Huge church. Out denying the message now. Where was his Holy Ghost anointing? It was on his spirit realm, or he would not turn the word down. The Holy Ghost can't turn the word down. Because that is the word of God. And that's why you respond and say amen. Sorry, Brother Luis, I'm getting excited. He told me to kind of slow down a little bit. So just amen. Okay, I'll slow down, brother. God bless you. At least they're honest. If I get to going too fast, go. How you say in Spanish? Espérate? Slow down? Hispanic? Right. Slow down. I'm learning. I got one word. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. There's the mighty conqueror. Where's that mighty conqueror, though? It's in those people in that Philadelphian age. They conquered the world with the word of God. They went, it was an open door to all these different missionaries that Livingston and different ones that went out and and missionaried the world and got people to turn away from Satan and turn to God. And they'll be there. I think sometimes we think it's our four no more. No, the world's going to be full. When we get in that city, the city's going to be full. And that world's going to be full of eternal people.
Amen.
And if you're an eternal person and you're living in eternity in heaven, there's somewhere you got in contact with God here.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You say, oh, what about a cup of water in my name? Who'd they give it to? Come on, who did the water get? Brother Darty, Brother Collie. There's the connection. You hold eternal life in your body today if you're a bride. And that cup of water is going to be to Jesus Christ, not to these brothers I just called their name. No. You're giving it to him. That's why we must give him our all. That's why we're falling short of giving him our all. Come on, somebody. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. What kept Job from the hour of temptation? It sure wasn't his wife. It sure wasn't his three best friends. Huh? Huh? But when Elihu showed up, or that last one, which portrayed Christ, he said, Job, stand up. I'm fixing to tell you something that them other three has not told you. And then what did Job do? He got a revelation. When Christ comes on the scene, he clears everything up. Listen, if somebody steps on the scene in your life and it causes confusion, it is not God. It is not God. God is not the author of confusion. We may go through tough times. We may go through ups and downs. But we still got God inside of us. As Brother Bob said, it really, everything that Job went through was just part of his life. And that's what made Job who he was. That's why I said about a Christian, a true Christian, tragedy does not destroy you. It complements you, actually. It actually makes you stronger. Right? Right? Tragedy does not destroy. If you fall apart and you quit church and you say, God don't love me no more, and the pastor hates me, that ain't God. That's the devil. Listen, we have had, I was preaching last Sunday, we've had the seals opened. But that thing now is closed inside of you. The only thing you got to do is let the part out that the people can see. Huh? You got to keep that secret in your heart. The problem with Satan was, well, I'm getting on a different subject here. Thank you, Brother Bob. But the part that Satan couldn't stand was he couldn't get in Job's soul. He could do everything around Job. But he didn't know what Job was thinking in his soul. Now, not just what concocts in your head. Right? It's what's down inside. Right? That still small voice. Oh, thunder, lightning, blah, blah, blah. But the still small voice is what we must listen to. We're going to have ups. We're going to have downs. We're going to have despair. We're going to have good times and bad times. But thank God, the prophet said, he said, just because you got a cloudy day don't mean that God hates you. If you have a sunny day, then he loves you. Listen, God can't change his mind. If he ever loved you in the beginning, he can't unlove you. That's why the tragedy in a Christian's life builds character and integrity. And Satan don't know what to do with you when you go through that. Satan does not have a clue what to do with you. Because he destroys people out there and he sees what they do. They go to drugs, alcohol, XYZ. Right? I'm going through a tough time. We'll go to God. That's what we as Christians do. We go to God. We don't hide under a, well, hide under your own chair at your home. You go to church. I don't know where that come from, but I didn't charge you anything for that. All right, so because thou hast kept the word of my patience. But listen, this is an unsealing age.
Yes, it is.
Because the seals are open.
Yes.
But I read you that scripture, and so did Brother Colley read it.
Amen.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are
sealed.
So God puts it in there, and he seals it back up.
Right.
Where, listen, what did Brother Brown say? He said, if I tell it, Satan can hear it. Now, that's not a direct quote, but that's close enough. You'll find it. He said, but now if I keep it in my heart, that's one thing Satan can't do, folks. To a believer, he cannot interpret what's in your soul. Because he don't know. Do you know what to do with Jesus? He did everything in the world, and he didn't defeat him. So where's that man at? Huh? Take your finger. Take your finger. Point. Hey, point. Do this right here. That's where Jesus is now. Right here. He's not in heaven. He's not over the sea. He's nigh thee. Even in the heart. Heart, heart, soul. Not your... Everybody with me? So that's the part, Satan. If you're born again, that's why you have eternal life. Satan can't get eternal life. He's wanted it from the beginning. That's why he's got such a chip on his shoulder against you and God. He wanted eternal life. He wanted to be able to create. And he couldn't. Oh, let me do it. No, Satan, just stay right. Oh, no, Lucifer, stay right here. That's why we need to stay in our position. Know your position. Stay in it. And God's good with that. Brother Brown said, direct quote, there's scrap heaps of ministers. It goes out beyond the program of God. And they rats on the side of the road. And that's what's happened to a lot of people. But that ain't got a lot to do with the church age. So let's just continue on here. But here's the church ages. And I hope you can see that. But we went Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther. We're now at John Wesley, number 6, which is the Philadelphian age. Excuse me. And remember, the black of that is the blackness of the age. And then you see the white, which is the Holy Ghost in the age, are what? The anointed word for their time.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody with me? The anointed word for their time is the white.
Amen.
Okay, it's the white. This is the darkness of Satan. This is false doctrine. Just like I said in Tennessee. I need to start preaching other places. I get 50 views here when I preach, and I got 200 and something when I preach up there, so go figure. And then if you put a real nice title on it like they did with Bob's, he gets about 200 views too. So it's according to what you do. You know, they're going to look at me and say, oh, son of man, number 185. Okay, we'll listen to that later. But, oh, the one God in the bride of Jesus Christ, we'll listen to that one. People are funny. But anyway, that's false doctrine. See how there's not much? Then it gets more, 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 a little bit less, a little bit less. And then remember in this age right here, Brother Branham's the one that put that in there. He said the last church age was completely dark. I put a little light in it. Which, who is that? Me and you. It's me and you. You know what that is right there? That's grace. That's grace that God sent a prophet to be in you. And that we accepted the message, which is the true message, which is the right message. Only message. Thank you, brother. Preach. But remember, all these, we see the circles and we see what Brother Brandon preached. It all comes down to a woman. In the Garden of Eden, the woman showed dominance over the man. Everybody with me? All right. And that's the way Satan got in. And you know what? That's the way he's going to carry his all the way through. He's going to get in the church and be a dominating female and dominate any doctrine. As somebody was speaking, I guess, with Brother Bob about the dress of our sisters. That dominating spirit is so dominant till they don't want to be submissive anymore. They don't want to wear the correct clothes anymore. And don't tell them. they need to wear the right clothes anymore. Don't tell me. And that's what they did in the church ages. Man got behind the pulpit and said, don't tell me XYZ, whatever it is. And that doctrine formulated through the devil from a dominating church, female church. Listen, we are the church of Jesus Christ, but we are not dominating over our head. We are under our headship, which is Christ. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown said, we're not the church. We're the bride. And the bride that knows what she's doing is submissive to her mate. She's submissive to her husband. Everybody with me? Okay? So the dominating female or the church is where all the doctrines, as we were talking about in Tennessee, when we see the seals released, it's always got to do with doctrine. It's always got to do with a message. It's always got it comes from right here. Why did Brother Branham, in Marriage and Divorce, he didn't have to preach that sermon to tell us how to get married and how to get divorced. The Bible tells us that. All right? Everybody with me? He didn't have to do that. It was already in it. But it had been misinterpreted so many times. So you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this. He said, we find ourselves in this situation because of misinterpreted theology. Right here, this is where theology comes from. And if we had a lot more neology, we'd combat the theology that's wrong. But he said, because of that, we're in this shape we're in. But praise God, about three sentences at the end of that service, he said, but I say to you, he said, don't do it no more. Go on as you are. There's the grace. There's the grace that we're looking for. To know that God knew we was going to get messed up.
Yes, he did.
Did not Brother Brown tell us that God knew if he put us in human flesh, we would fall?
Right.
And all that other stuff that goes with it?
Right.
So he used the fall still, though, by sex to get you here? By permissive will?
Absolutely right. Amen.
Coming right back
yes.
to the Garden of Eden, yeah. to where we're supposed to be. That's what we're doing. We're eating our way back to that garden. Listen, God put the chasm there. He's got to be the one that fills it in
Absolutely.
To get us back to that.
Amen.
Amen. He said, look. Right? He said, I'm going to put a division or enmity between me and you. You're not going to be able to talk to me anymore like you used to. You're going to hear me through the teachings of this and the teaching of that, the teachings of Moses, teachings of Abraham, and all these different ones. Everybody with me?
Amen.
But now there's a time right now, though, we've come back to this.
Yes.
To where God is now speaking back again. He's trying to get us cleaned up enough to talk to us.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Because
God won't dwell in an unclean vessel. So the opening of the first three seals loosed a ministry. There was a ministry loosed true and a ministry loosed false. Because here stands a lamb with the book. What's that book? That book is eternal life.
Yes.
That book is the Bible.
Yes.
That book is truth.
Yes.
And the man that wrote it had it in his hand.
Yes.
And the man that possessed it had it in his hand. Right?
Amen.
But he said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes a white horse rider.
Right.
This ministry was loosed, and so was that one. Because
yes,
remember, in every instance, it's twins.
Yes.
Right.
Every instance is twins. Cain and Abel, we proved that the other day. Jesus and Judas, and even right now. You're going to have Christ and Antichrist right here in the end time. One, the epitome of Christ. The other, the epitome of Antichrist. All right, so it's coming to a head today.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen.
Open our eyes. So the opening of the first three seals loosed the ministry. So that ministry was so strong, though, it was so powerful, it was in the lion anointing, L-I-O-N. The lion roared. They didn't have a Baptist on every corner, or a Methodist, or a Pentecostal, or a Branhamite church. On every corner. They had the Word of God. They taught it right straight. Jesus gave it to them straight out of his mouth. So guess what we're doing? If that did it to them there, it's going to do the same thing to me and you here. That's why we had to have a prophet that was the mouthpiece of God, that spoke to us by the Word of God, through the Word of God, with God telling him what to say. Amen. And a lot of times it wasn't Brother Brown speaking anyway. But he promised he would restore, and that's what we've been talking about from all the church ages back to here, that there had to be a time that there was a group of people that had the pure word of God, and then, like I said before, doctrines got loosed. Ministries got loosed by the white horse, by the red horse, by the black horse, and by the pale horse. There was ministries loosed. Yeah. And it, remember, it started as a white righteous church, so it would get the attention of the people. Yes. Oh, it's white. Oh, it seems right. Then what seemed right started killing people. Physically killing them. Then that doctrine became incarnate in the Pope, and it started spiritually killing the people. And that's what's happening now. In this age, they are spiritually dying because of false doctrine. Or the loosing of a ministry that was not true. But God promised, praise God, I will restore. He didn't say you. He said, I'll restore. He didn't say Satan's going to restore. He said, I will restore those years. In other words, I will pay those years back. I will what? Redeem the time that all this got lost.
Amen.
He's redeeming it now. So the first three ages, pure word of God. The fourth church age went into the ground. Remember, it was just to be a Christian, you were killed. All right. Wasn't a whole lot of healings and worldwide campaigns. And no, you lived a Christian life. You were in that ox age. You were a burden bearer. You just kept going and kept going. And basically 68 million of them died. Amen. So then the fourth church age went into the ground, as we were talking about. But Jesus promised. Here in the Bible, in John 12, he said, Jesus answered and said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now remember, who is the Son of Man? God in human flesh.
Yes.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
Now, according to a prophet and according to the different pieces in the Bible, that same Son of Man is supposed to come back in the end time in a group of people.
Yes,
now, he promised it. We didn't. He promised it. Because remember, Satan didn't know anything to do with Jesus. He couldn't stick his, as Brother Bram said, he stuck the stinger into his flesh and he died. Well, the stinger's gone now. So Satan didn't know how to deal with Jesus. If he's still here again as the Son of Man, that's why the ministry's got to be right. That's why the doctrine's got to be right. That's why everything's got to be online so Satan can't get his grubby hands on you and me. And he won't when we take a body change. When we take a body change, he has not got any hold on you at all. Right now, he has a hold on your flesh. Because you are dying. And he does have a hold partly on your brain. Because some of you are asleep, not listening to what I'm saying. And some of you are cooking supper. Brother Branham one time, he stopped. He said, now, wait a minute, sisters. Discernment. He said, wait a minute, sisters. I believe it's spoken words written received. He said, your beans won't burn. I believe it spoke a word of original seed. He said, all right, now, your supper, your food won't burn now, sister. Just hang on a minute. He picked that up. Because that's what you're thinking now. You've got, 75, 80 people in here right now. About 75 different, maybe a few of y'all are paying attention. But 75, you got all kind of different ideas going around the place. Well, me too, because I just had a thought right then. Wasn't good. So, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. God had to let that fourth age go in the ground and die to bring forth the true seed. Now, not that they were false. They were true seed. But they had to go into the ground and die so the Son of Man can resurrect in the end time. Because remember, who's he talking about? He's talking about himself right here in this instant. Dual meaning now. Remember, he's talking about himself. He's the corn of wheat that fell into the ground. The Son of Man. Not the Son of God. See, Son of God can't die. Son of Man. This is God standing here in human flesh saying that the Son of Man is going to be glorified. All right? If he's going to be glorified, who's he going to be glorified in? You are a group of people coming that Satan don't know have anything to do with. That's why he hates us. He don't know what to do with us. I say again, if you got eternal life in your soul, he resided there one time. Sorry about that. You were Satan's subject at one time. You did what the devil wanted you to do. He wanted you to do. Well, pray for me. I was that way. I'm just plain enough that I was lost. And I was doing what? Lost things. Because you know what? When you become a Christian, you do Christian things. So when you become stay lost, you do lost things. All right? So now that we're all on the same level, that corn of wheat, Jesus Christ had to die. The Son of Man had to die. But remember, he resurrected that flesh, that Son of Man. But now remember, he said, look, the world's not going to see me anymore. See me anymore. But you'll see me because I'll be with you even in you. What? In you. In your flesh. Till the end of the world. And we're standing right here at the threshold. Look what's going on. Look what's going on in the world. Horrible. Horrible. Everywhere you look. So except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die. That was those people in that fourth church age. They died by the million. 68 million died during that time under rule of Christianity. Supposed to be. Now untold billions, as Brother Brown said, spiritually. Died because, listen, you can be sitting here today and be dead as a hammer.
Oh, yes, sir.
You can sit here today and be just as dead can be.
Amen.
But let's not be that way. Let's be alive. You can only be alive in Christ. You can't be alive in the devil. You can't be alive in your own self. You say, whoo, I'm alive. No, you're dead. As they say, before they're fixing to take the people to the electric chair, you're dead while you're walking. Dead man walking. That's what we were. But thank God Christ took our place. He went in there and took our place for us. He got executed for us. To come back, the seed, the corn come back, and he's not just coming back one, he came back in multiple forms. 120, 3,000, hundreds of thousands, millions of little Jesuses. And that's what the Word of God does. We're sitting here at the end time now, though we are coming to seed head time. You can't plant a stalk. You can't plant a leaf. You can't plant a flower and it come up. Sure, you can plant it. It's not going to come up. You can even plant hybrid seed in the ground and it might come up one time. But it'll never reproduce itself. That's what Satan's done. He's planted a seed. And planting that seed, we're sitting here. And serpent seed, unless we're born again. That's what Brother Branham said. Born between Satan and Eve, so that's where we were, between Satan and Eve. That kind of puts you in a precarious predicament. But thank God for grace. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God for a resurrection. That corn came out of the ground and he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And I'm giving it to you. Go into the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. My name, he said. Praise God. Where was I? So the fifth age was an age of reformation. Now remember, that was Martin Luther. He come out of the Catholic Church, but a lot of the Catholic Church came out with him. There was still some darkness there. Listen, not in his soul though. But it was so in his spirit realm till he took some of that with him. Because remember, if you're born again, like I said before, if you're born again, think about this. Your soul is perfect.
Yes.
You can't put false doctrine in your soul. That's why we need to listen to our soul more than we listen to our spirit or listen to any other thing that's going on. Listen to that one inside of you. And if that thing doesn't resonate with the word, you got the wrong one. You got the wrong person. Satan can't cast out Satan. Everybody with me? The fifth church age. It was a reforming age. Now, what is a reformer? A reformer is like somebody that's a drug addict that you take and put them in a reform place, or used to be when you were really bad, they put you in a reform school. They tried to reform you. They didn't try to change you. Yeah, they tried to change you, but they didn't try to change the right man. You got to have a soul change to be different. Soul change to be different. Like I said before, you can be anointed on your spirit realm and still be black as soot in the inside. Somewhere that thing's going to pop its head up. Somewhere that something's going to happen in your life and you're going to go, I may not have what I got, what I thought I had. We're going to get to that in just a few minutes. And then we'll wait till the rest of it this afternoon, because there's a lot here that I'm going to have to cut out. But now, the sixth age is what we're talking about. All right? The first age was the Sardesian church age. It was the age of justification. Everybody understand that? Justification chops off your past sins. It makes you just for the moment. It makes you just for the moment. All right? Chopped off your past sins. And I was telling them in Tennessee, but most of y'all were there, you know, God created a place that he can't even go to. Did y'all think of that when I said that? God created a place that he can't even go himself. He created a sea. He created a place in his mind that's so covered by the blood, he can't go in there. Remember, the Bible says he's put in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and he'll never remember it again. So there's a place that you say, my God can do everything. There's one thing I know he can't do. And praise God, he can't accuse me of my past sins. That ought to make you happy. Or either you hadn't been justified yet. Truly justified. Truly not got caught. Or found Jesus in jail. But really find God and say, God, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being a slave to the devil. I want a new life. Well, you don't get one right then, folks. I'm telling you, because you're still rotten. In sanctification, you're still in that spirit realm. You have that same motivator that there has been before. It's just that God, in some way, I know what way. It's because of the sea of forgiveness. God forgets all that. And where it used to be that you had your sins recorded and all were written down, well, all of a sudden, you got a clean slate.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And Brother Branham will tell us that's where a lot of people get, and they don't go no further.
Amen.
The Baptist, once saved, always saved. I believe that if you start acting like a Christian. But if you get saved at 5 years old and you don't darken the door of a church for 45 or 50 years, and you live like the devil, no, you're not going to heaven. I believe once truly born again,
yes,
no doubt, you'll never get unborn again.
Amen.
How can you unbirth yourself naturally? That's what Nicodemus, he said, do I have to go make myself a baby again and go back into, you know, reverse the process and go back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you ought to know better. But he didn't. We know he didn't, because what? He was looking at the law. He was looking at what the law said. There was no redemption in the law. That's what Paul said. Sure, it's coming to that. And they were redeemed when Christ died at Calvary. But when you, if you, Brother Branham said, he said, they put the sacrifice down, they lay their hands on it. If they were an adulterer, he said, they got forgiven for the year past. He said, but they walked out with the same devil that they walked in with. Because the blood of bulls and goats only covers sin. It didn't eradicate it. But the blood of Jesus Christ, it will eradicate your sins. So justification is a one-step process to begin with. We know there's other parts, but to begin with, by faith in what Christ did at the cross, you got to believe that your sins are not marked somewhere. The sins of your past nature is gone. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, there's no difference. For all have sinned. All right. Paul, what are you talking about? For all. Everybody say all. All have sinned. Those of y'all that didn't, you must not have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Being justified freely by his grace and only through his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, not the law, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare what? We're declaring today he is righteous. But now in turn, him being righteous turned around and said, so are you. Y'all don't believe that. Do you not believe that? He said, so are you. He said, Paul said, you are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. To declare his righteousness today, when you sit here and say amen, and you live a Christian life, you have declared his righteousness, but it now becomes yours. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Now listen, you can't come up today and be prayed for and say, Brother Wade, I know I'm going to murder somebody tomorrow. I want you to forgive me. Or I know I'm going to get mad at my boss. I know that. Well, probably you're right. But I won't get forgiveness now. You can't do that. There's nothing in there for that. It's sins past. Listen, grace is not what you're going to do. It's not for what you're going to do. It's for what you've already done. All right? Everybody with me? Look, through the forbearance of God. Is everybody with me today? To declare. Now, here's Paul. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Now, watch. That he might be just. Got to have one person that's just. But he's the justifier of, put your name in there. Which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude. Now here's Paul, the great Paul. He brings it all to one sentence. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Remember, we went through that. The law kills you because the law said, you kill somebody, we're going to kill you. You have an adultery with my wife, we're going to kill you. You have this, we're going to kill you. Everything was about killing. Well, praise God. There was a killing one time 2,000 years ago. And he didn't have to take another one. He's the only one. And he's the one that died for me and you. And if we ever forget Calvary and forget what Jesus done for us, God help us. Sometimes we can get so revelated in the message till we forget about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the message. His redemption and his grace is what give us the opportunity to be here today. So now let's look for just a moment. We'll get to sanctification this afternoon. This is the, you can't really see it, but let me get to the next one. I think you'll be able to see it. Can everybody see it okay? Better? Okay, okay. All right. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. All right, this is the world. All right, there's a gate somewhere. There's a gate you come in. Now, look, you walk into this court. And you walk into this court, that is a type of what? Justification. Right. Everybody with me? Right. When it rains, you get wet. Yeah. When it gets hot, you get hot. But in here is where you start sacrificing, working your way to here. Right. Everybody with me? This is where you're saying, God, chop off my past sins. I want to put the lamb, you lamb, the lamb of God, on the altar. And say, God, I put my hands on you and I transfer everything I got on top of you. Because he said, give it to me. That's pretty powerful for one man to say, give me your sins. And there's 8 billion people in this world. But if every person in this world, like Brother Dale said, if every person in this world today declared and got the new birth, God wouldn't be going, wait a minute, I'm going to sit down on this one. No, he'd be way be stronger. Amen. That's what's going to be in that new city. Come on, somebody. That new city is going to be nothing but eternal people. That's why it's going to be something you can't understand, because we are not in it now. All right. So this is the outer court. All right. Even they have a place, I've been reading up on this, and we may do it later on. They have a place called the women's court. And it's a corner over here like this. Now, that's in, not, this is the one in the wilderness they took up and went. But when they had Solomon's temple, it was a little different because it was in one place. But don't worry about that. But it is a part. People can, even this is called the court of the Gentiles. Gentiles could walk in here. All right, so what am I saying? Justification, it chops off your past sins, but it doesn't do anything for the continuation of your life. If you turn around and walk back out, you're just as dead as you was when you walked in. But if you continue walking, I hope y'all get some of that. Brother, you shout hard. These people don't do that. Makes you happy, doesn't it?
Amen.
But the sixth church age, though, we move up a little higher. And we'll talk about it this afternoon. It's called sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? Sanctification is you've made it through here. You've made it through. This is the laver and the bowl and the sacrifice. And you made it through there, and you're heading in here. Now, look, once you start into here, a lot of people can't go in there. Just a common person can't walk in there. And certain ones of this that's been defiled. Boy, I read something. I'm going to read it this afternoon. And it always bothered me the same way, like with Brother Branham and even with the people with when Jesus was eating the corn. Remember, he was eating the corn in the corners and the priest come out and said, "Hey, what are you doing all this?" He said, "Did not even David eat the shoe bread that was separated for the priest?" You know, the shoe bread's in here.
Amen.
And you know what I always thought? I thought shoe bread was manna. It's not. It ain't even close to manna. It's something to preach. Well, thank you, brother. And you should have told me that a long time ago. Okay. Get with it, brother. I need help. But the shoe bread was made by the priest. Made by human hands. But when you went into the Holy of Holies, will we ever get there? There was manna in there that never, that was lit. Listen, that manna was made in God's kitchen. That manna was produced by God himself. And when he put it in there, he put it in you. Because manna is the type of the what? Holy Ghost. But when you get ready to walk into that next veil and that veil drops, there's certain things in there we'll talk about this afternoon. But I want to get to one thing as we start into sanctification. You with me? So the sixth age is the age that John Wesley, how you want to say this, moved up in God a little more. All right? He was born again. But there was things that he lacked. Remember the Moravians and all the different ones that he, sometimes we think that all these church age messengers, they just, you know, they're like, no, John Wesley didn't know he was not born again until he met somebody that was. The Moravians, he met them and said, I don't have what they got. Remember his brother Charles, he come back and said, "Hey, Charles, we ain't got one." Charles, you know, he's a little bit ill. Charles said, "Brother, you've built your whole life on this. And you're telling me you ain't born again?" He said, "That's exactly right." That's what Brother Dale's always said. He said, "I pray that everybody in this building realizes they're not born again. Amen. That God can do something to help you." All right, we'll get to this later on. I want to get to something right here. It was called love of the brethren. We know all it has a little strength in it. But it, remember, it was an unfulfilled age also. Because remember, it was the outer court, inner court. You're not in the Holy of Holies yet. But it is getting there. It's called the holy place.
Yes.
Sanctification, folks, is called in your life the holy place. It's when you start learning to come to church. You start learning to read your Bible. You start learning the things about God and what he does and his ways and his attitude. We're going to talk about that in just a second. So John Wesley was the pastor or the messenger. He died in 1791. So the church age continued on to 1906. And remember, our brother Joe, he's in the back, but we were at that Methodist camp this weekend, and I showed him in the book, because I'd read it before. They have their own hymnal. Methodists, they have their own hymnal. And in the beginning of it, it tells you exactly what to do, step by step. What songs to sing, how to sing them, Sing them with zeal, it says. I mean, Joe was over just taking pictures of it. I said, I told you it was in here. Right. Tells you how to do everything. Why? Because that's why they're called Methodists. Because it was a method of worship that even Martin Luther didn't do. Now, Martin Luther tried to have worship services apart from just somebody speaking in Latin and you listening to what he's, you can't understand what he says. But then John Wesley comes out and says, hey, there's a method of worship here. Hallelujah. And you know what? God was happy with that. Because even Brother Branham, Condottor in Doctrine, he said, do this, do this, do this, do this. God don't change. If he brought it to Martin Luther, if he brought it to John Wesley, he brought the same thing to Brother Branham. The only problem is they weren't prophets. They caught pieces of the mind of God. They didn't catch the whole mind of God. Listen, when a man stands in a pulpit and he says, let's go back into the back part of the mind of God. That's a place the devil's never been. John Wesley didn't get there. Martin Luther didn't get there. But Brother Branham said, let's. He didn't say, I. He said, let's go back. What's he doing? He's pulling us into it. Oh, that was just for Brother Branham. No. No, that was for all of us. He took us into the mind of God. That's what the message is. The message is the mind of God. Everybody with me? Listen, we'll get into sanctification this evening. All right, this afternoon. If you don't come back, you'll miss something. Well, people want to know where God is. He'll be here at 2 o'clock this afternoon. The devil will too, but. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. All right, now look, Luther in the church age of bringing forth the bride seed was the same in spirit. Now watch. But just one little grain of seed, Luther stood out then what? The two little shoots, all right? Justification by faith. He was the very type of Hagar, the stalk coming up. Wesley was the type of Sarah, the Philadelphian, the age of love that brought forth the tassel. That in Wesley's age, there was more missionaries than any other age we've had, the great missionary age of John Wesley. But Pentecost represented Mary. And that's what we're going to get to. There'll be a Pentecostal age after we get finished with this one. This is the age of sanctification. The one coming up is the age of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then what is the Laodicean age? It's the age of the Word of God coming back into power. The Omega Church coming back into power. It's matured. So sanctification is what? Cleaned up and set aside for use or purpose. All right, everybody with me, just for a minute, we'll close. Remember the glass. God picked the glass up. He picked it up because he was justly going to use it. Then it was really dirty, so he started cleaning it out. But remember, justification is one act. Watch, you have one act. Oh, I'm going to use that. One act. What's sanctification? I got to open it. I got to take it in the kitchen. I got to put detergent in it. And I got to scrub it out. So it's a process. All right? Sanctification is a process. We're still going through it. Paul said, I die daily. So as a process, sanctification means becoming more holy through time. Like a child growing up into adulthood, Christians become more sanctified over time. And that's the truth. That's why this right here. It's stages. This means that Christians should expect to make progress. Hello? Grow and become more loving, kind. Wake up! Because this is, I'm talking to you. More loving, kind, humble, and self-controlled over their life. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And watch what Brother Brown said. My dear Methodist brother and Pilgrim Holiness and Nazarene, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from sanctification. Sanctification is the cleansing, which is preparation of life. Not life, preparation of life. But when the Holy Ghost comes, it is life. Preparation is cleaning the vessel. The Holy Ghost is filling the vessel. Sanctification means cleansed and set aside for service. The Holy Spirit is put into service. You are the vessel that God's cleaned up. Amen. How can I overcome? Brother Branham said, look, well, notice when the unclean spirit is gone from a man, he walks in dry places. That's exactly what the church has done. Baptists, Methodists, those who believed in sanctification. Then Jesus said the unclean spirit that went out returns back to this church body. Huh? And finds the house garnished, swept, clean, living, pure, clean lives. All right. But then if that house isn't filled, occupied, then he comes in with seven other evil demons worse than he was. And the last stage of this place is seven times worse than it was at the first. They had been better to have stayed Lutherans than it would be to receive that light and fail to follow it. I'm talking to you today. So will the Pentecostal. See, you know what I mean. The house is garnished. Returned back, found the house not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the state of the church is joined with the League of Churches, World Council of Churches. And it's a state now that connects it with Roman Catholicism and all the rest of it. Listen, forget about this Trump, Biden, all this junk. They're garbage. They're all garbage. You better watch Rome. You better watch what the Catholic Church is doing underneath. You better worry about what we ain't heard from Pope in a long time. Why? He's formulating his plan. And whoever's in the White House, that's part of his plan. You know what, though? That's part of God's plan, though. I put in kings, I take kings out. And now it's seven times worse than it was when it came out of Lutheranism. That's where man takes it. Now, real quick. Christianity is not based on what people do to you. Think about that. This is my last statement right here. Christianity is not based on what people do to you. And it's not based on a condition. Everybody with me? And right there is the first thing y'all going to say. They what? Christianity is not based on what they do to you. Hello? You want me to prove it? I'm going to prove it right here. Because I'm telling you, we still got a lot of stuff we got to get rid of. A lot of anger, anxiety, and all this stuff. The way you treat people. Oh, brother, I've been in this message 50-something years. I ain't got to treat no people the way I... You ain't born again. You ain't got the love of God in you, I'll promise you that. Because listen to what happened. Jesus said, this is not a quote from the prophet. This is a quote from the prophet. Jesus. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. For all of you watching online, pay attention. But I say unto you, love your enemies. If you look that word up, love, it's not filio. Jesus is saying you've got to agape your enemies. Oh, but they. Well, see that. You ain't acting like a Christian. Bless them that curse you. You're reading it. Do good to them that love you. No. Do good to them that hate you. I asked them up in Tennessee. I said, do you pray for your enemies? And they wasn't but one person raised their hand. And I'm going to ask today. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Oh, they're my favorite. I love them. I just love them. I just love them. I just love them. Yeah, right. You let them cross you one time. You'll make a list. Say that again. Ay, ay, ay. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? So you're going to get a reward for loving those that hate you. Do not even the publicans do the same, or the common people? And if you salute your brethren only. Well, I'm not going to speak to that one because he didn't speak to me. And Brother Donnie wasn't here on Wednesday night, and he didn't call me and tell me, so I ain't shaking his hand after church. I love you too, but you weren't here Wednesday night. And if you salute your brethren, if you salute your brethren only, watch. What are you more than others? You're just common. Do not even the publicans do that. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Luke 6, verse 27. But I say unto you, listen how specific Jesus was. I say unto you, which hear. Some of those people didn't hear. They listened. They heard words, but they didn't hear. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them. This is Jesus talking. So there's no interpretation to this. Okay, it's just what he says. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. We're getting down some stiff stuff here now. And him that taketh away what you got, just let him have it. If he wants your cloak, give him the coat. I like what Dave Ramsey said one time. He said, don't ever let somebody borrow money from you. He said, if your kid's borrowing money from you, he said, Thanksgiving dinner don't taste as good when you're sitting across with a man that you need to pay back. If you're going to give it to somebody, give it to them and not expect nothing in return. You can't be, well, Jesus didn't say, now if you'll, no, he died for everybody. Give to every man that asketh of them, him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Oh, I brother borrowed something and give it back. Jesus said, just let him have it. That's hard. Sometimes I need my hammer and all that other stuff that Josh took home. Where's Josh at? Hey, Josh. That your kids take home with you. But I'm just reading what Jesus said. If you can interpret it any different, then let me know after the service. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Aren't we supposed to be Christians? Aren't we supposed to be above that? Aren't we supposed to be somebody that walks and talks different, that somebody can see a difference? Sometimes we open our mouth and remove all doubt. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them which you hope to receive, here's Israel here, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. See, that goes against all of our character, but I'm telling you, this is what Jesus said to be a Christian. You got to do this right here. I'm not preaching to seals today. I am preaching to seals today. I'm unsealing some things that we need to work on. Amen. Hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind even unto the... Jesus Christ. Amen. Is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I think we need to walk different. I think the problem we all have is we hold grudges. We know more than the next person does. And if you treat me wrong, bless God, I'm telling everybody about it. And God will give you some lightning. No, you might be the one that gets the lightning. Watch this. We'll close. Musicians, come on. Y'all stand. People go to church. They'll shake your hand in church. and laugh, call you brother. Outside the church, they'll pull a little business deal. It wouldn't be just exactly straight for personal gain. I wouldn't say them people are here in the tabernacle, but I say there is. There's things that people would do and they get different. A least little thing will bring that old temper back again. That selfishness, open up an ear to hear some gossip or do something of that type. That person has never entered in. That person has never entered into this pot in here. He's talking about going into sanctification. They're outside. They're truly eating the same kind of manna. They've been brought into the camp, and that's where in the camp, in the field, is where the people got the manna. And they're in there, and that manna that they eat is the same manna this man eats here. Everybody believe Brother Brown was a prophet?
Amen.
All right, okay. They both have the same pastor. They both read the same Bible. But one constantly stays true and humble, and the other one's got his ups and downs, going like this, in and out. Both of them eating the same manna, but one of them has entered in. And the other one is still out. I'm just telling you what Brother Brown said. Both of them are believers unto, listen to me, unto eternal life. But one is baptized with the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God. And the other one is outside eating the same manna. Wow. I've seen people that shouted that lived any kind of life. I've seen people dance in the spirit up and down the halls, come back out, live horrible. I've seen both men and women do that. I've seen men and women dance in the spirit, speak in tongues, shout, had a temper like I don't know what. There's something wrong, and yet they enjoy the blessings of God. They believe in it. They have faith in it, but it's only in the outer court. It never has come to the inner court. They're never got from here. Look, he said from here down here.
Amen.
All right, this is the outer court, inner court, holy of holies.
Amen.
You're getting close. You love the Lord?
Amen.
I just want to admonish you. We got to start living and living, not saying, well, they did. Well, they made a... You know what gets me, people? People come in the post office and they'll do their job. And we have a job to do because we get trained to do that certain job. And somebody says, you need to be retrained. Well, if you work for the post office? No, so you don't know whether they need to be retrained or not. Hello? That's the kind of attitude people have.
Amen.
That's a bad attitude. That's a horrible attitude. And it needs to be dealt with. And I'm dealing with it right now. You need to be kind to your enemies. People that hate you, you don't speak evil against them. What's our problem? Well, sure, we may have the Holy Ghost. But Brother Branham, I believe he's talking about going into that court. Remember, you come back out and you start over again, because right there is where you start over again. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost in a higher order. We need to be in that higher order. All of us needs to be. Now remember, in sanctification, the unclean spirit goes out of your soul. And God comes in, he seals it up. But remember, there's still unclean spirit in your spirit realm. Hello? There's unclean spirit in your spirit realm. That's what makes us act up. If your soul is what's making you act up, you have no God in there. Be kind to people. That's true sanctification. Is to know that you can pray for somebody that hates your guts.
Amen.
Easy to love somebody that loves you, but pray for somebody that hates your guts. Lord, have you ever prayed for somebody that cut you off on the side of, on the road? No, usually it's this. I'll get them on down the highway. Lord, they may be having a bad day. Lord, maybe they need salvation. Speak to those people. Does that not change your attitude instead of you getting all stewed about it? Because, listen, there's not one thing. You can't drive their car for them. Hello? You can't drive the guy's car for him. If you did, you wouldn't do that. All right, now everybody's quiet. Let's sing a song. God bless you. But that's what we got to come to with John Wesley and all the different doctrines we come forward. We got to shed all this stuff away from us.
He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him call. He is here. You can touch him.
Let's sing it one more time with our brother Bob and brother Luis, brother Aaron, if you'll come, and we'll pray over these prayer cloths.
He is here.
He's hearing our brothers, and we're going to lay our hands on this, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray a prayer for the children, teachers, bus drivers, the building, all those different things, and then y'all come and get them when you're finished, and we'll be dismissed. Y'all come, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are here binding our faith together, Lord, that these cloths, wherever they go, Lord, that they'll produce exactly what you said it would, Lord. The desire in the heart of our teachers to teach the children. The desire in the heart of our students, Lord, to learn and to excel, Lord, and do well in school. To the bus drivers for safety, Lord, and for the schools, the buildings to be safe. There be no one come in and try to harm our children, Lord. And if there anything is, Lord, we want them all to be Christians and be different, Lord. And I pray that wherever these cloths go, Lord, that there'll be a shining example, Lord, and that somebody will come back and, Lord, somebody will say, man, that was a better year than ever was before, Father. Lord, you're the one that can do this. You're the only one that can change any situation, Father. We know Satan wants to disrupt it, but in the name of Jesus Christ, there is a standard that you said you would raise up if the enemy comes in like a flood. So, Lord, thank you for that standard. We pray, Lord, that you would bless these cloths wherever they go in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Come up and get one. Students, teachers. There's plenty of them in here. Just come get some.
He is here. Listen closely. Hear him call.
Lord, give them a blessing, my Lord.
You will never
plenty
be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen.
Take those. That's good.
He's here.
In school. It's tough out there.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless.
Bless you, buddy. Love you.
Listen closely. Hear him call. him, you will never be. Listen. We in this congregation have seen lives changed. We've seen people sleep better at night. We've seen people be healed of cancer. We've seen people receive salvation just by placing those prayer cloths where they need to go. So let's not diminish that. Let's make sure that our children are covered a little extra, because the enemy's going to come in like a flood. But there's a standard of belief that, as they did with Paul, they took the cloth off of Paul and they gave them to the people, and unclean spirits left. We still believe the same God. Amen. We still believe the same God Paul did, right? We believe the same message Paul believed. Amen. So if anybody needs any more, I know the musicians need to get some before they take off. But God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the service you give us, Lord. I pray that each one has received something from you. And today has been a day, Lord, that we can say, boy, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, I pray that you'd bless each one now, Lord. Be with the students. Be with the different ones, Lord, as they go. Grandchildren, different lives, Lord. And maybe they'll change a life out there, Lord. And Lord, you'll get the honor and glory for it, and you'll get all the blessings, Father. And then you'll turn around and give us a blessing, Lord, that we can't contain. You said you'd do that. Father, I pray that you'd bless the ones that are sick, Sister Johnny, different ones that we think about often. Lord, I pray that you'd touch them, Father. Lord, until we come back together this afternoon, Lord, just bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
This is the evening time.